quiet life out here, on this farm off the grid, away from everything, among these ancient sequoias. It's beautiful. I would do anything to protect both of you, your legacies, your lives. I don't want to see another one of your family hurt from this day to the ending of the world. I can't protect you in this position, but I need you to listen.
Out of the sky.
I served with your son, Ben. We were seeking out a sleeper cell of resistance troopers, agents, and our job was to mark the cave where they were stationed for the overhead bombers to target and blast away. We were a small platoon commanded by your son. We were maybe 2 meters from the entrance where Ben, I don't know, just, it was like a wave just washed over him. And he was a different person. I've never seen anything. He quietly, calmly ordered all of us, ignoring protests and questions, mine mostly, to return to Sector 37, to the rendezvous. The story they told you and the world was that he died saving our hides from an ambush of resistance agents, that he sacrificed himself for the good of the Republic, a hero worthy of his parents' name. But what I didn't tell you, and I'm sorry for telling this out of order, what I didn't tell you is that before he ordered us to disengage, he had already marked the target. He'd also ordered the communications officer, Reynolt, to call off the overhead bombers. So after we all started heading back down the hill, of course I had to disobey his orders, risk court-martial, and see what in the hell he was after. When I got close enough, I could see. The cave wasn't a cave at all. It was just a little village on the side of a hill, some of it built into walls, hidden away mostly by trees and such. And there were women and children, and no men. Could it have been a village of resistance families? More than likely. But there were no troopers or agents anywhere near that place. What happened next, I'd like to tell you. I really would. I served under your son, and I was proud to do so. And I watched him as he did everything in his power to convince those civilians to get out. And I watched him disappear in a mass of light from the bombers above. I like to think that he didn't die in vain, that he saved my life, changed it that day. I can't bring him back as much as I'd like to, but I can tell you that after all this happened, we were all angry, beyond angry, enraged. We checked Reynolds' communications records. We contacted the control tower. We told them what had happened. They'd killed their own. And as everyone started to panic, I managed to keep the platoon in Sector 37 as ordered in one place, waiting for evac. When the transport didn't respond, I moved out of the safe zone to try for a better signal, and all at once I felt this wave hit me, just as it did to Ben. And I just ran and leaped into a pit about 100 meters between what was left of the village and the hill and our evac zone. I have no idea what in the hell drove me, but the blast from above that killed my friends, all of them, I have no doubt came from a New Republic ship. This is what the Republican army needed. A galactic hero murdered along with his entire platoon by the barbarous demons of the evil resistance. But here's what's crazy. What happened to Ben was an accident. There's a communication glitch, a delay from the transmission to the unmanned fighters of about 30 seconds, depending on the atmosphere of the planet. The planet's sky is made up of enormous amounts of methane, delaying a communication to a drone-flown ship of about 2 minutes, which is exactly the time it took. None of us took this into account in the moment because, one, we were ordered to disengage, and two, we weren't particularly fond of this new kind of warfare. Killing the rest of the men in the platoon was the cover-up. Someone in the control tower made a quick decision to clean up the mess. I fell in with a neighboring village. A native population took me in. They were resistance, but only by necessity, only for survival. And when I hatched a plan to come back to civilization, to the Republic, I decided to play the angle that I had been kidnapped and sent to the Outer Rim, that I managed to commandeer a long-range transport to a safe harbor in the main systems. I managed to ship falling out of the sky. now, here, just like everywhere else, nothing gets in, nothing gets out. Not without clearance. I managed to transfer to your planet with the purpose of helping with the overthrow of the Commander of the Good from the Resistance side, to which I pledged loyalty, and protecting the Commander of the Good for the Republic side, to which I already pledged loyalty. The real reason for all of this is that I could track you and your husband down and tell you about your son. I'm an asset to them now. I know where the Resistance is. Nothing ever materializes because I warn them to move before the bombers arrive. I'm an agent of non-war. I promise blood and deliver peace. No one gets killed on my watch because one side or the other is a moment too late. I'm sure they'll figure it out eventually. Someone will rat me out. It's inevitable. But I think your son clarified my entire life on the hillside that day. Everyone wants to survive no matter who or what they're fighting for. He tried to save those people. Not because they were innocent or because he had a bleeding heart. He tried to save those people because they wanted the same thing he wanted, to live. There's one more thing. I said I want to protect everyone, if I could, in your family. It's about your brother. You're going to have to find a way to get out if you want to see him again. I'm going to write a name down. Don't say it. Don't repeat it. Don't say your names. Don't say anyone's name from here on out. You have 24 hours to meet with this man and to meet with the Commander of the Good. Find a way, and you'll find your way out. Good luck to both of you.